Blog Talk Radio.
And liberation. The ones say if you're not ready to bring the noise, then you need to just hang it up. Welcome to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as you can tell, we are indeed fired up on this end, and know that you are also. There's a lot going on, certainly all over the country, needless to say. After the 21st, well, you know, a lot of folks already knew what was going down and certainly know what's going to be going down. But the question still remains, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to start talking more about that, and not only talking more about it, but doing some things about it. Tonight, we're going to continue our dialogue about the execution, the murder, the torture of Brother Troy Davis, and I do say torture because from what the reports that we received, Brother was laying on that gurney all that time, from the time that they put him on it around 6:30-ish up until 11:08, so for 3 hours or so, 4 hours actually, he just laid there, and they just laughed, I'm sure. Yeah, and you know, that's how we're feeling about it. We're not going to shut up, though. We're going to keep it moving, and we're going to keep on doing what we need to do. Tonight, well, before we go into tonight, of course, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, because it's certainly wonderful to be able to be with you every week. We've been broadcasting all week long, actually, you know, keeping you abreast of what was going on here in Philadelphia, but certainly from all over the country. But again, before we go on with that, again, we give a serious, serious thanks and praises to our Creator, and always, always very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Okay, well, with that said, tonight, We are going to talk with several people. We need to continue, you know, letting this out, and that's what we kind of call this show and a few shows that we did earlier this week, and just speaking out, letting it out, let it come out, and that way we can move forward in the best ways possible. We're going to talk with Sister Pam Africa very shortly. I talked to Sister Pam a little while ago, and she did go up to see Mumia earlier today. So Sister's going to give us a report, of course, on her visit with our brother. I could tell you that she was fired up and excited as well, because Mumia, without a shadow of a doubt, is as strong as ever. And we're going to have some real, real powerful reports for you very, very soon. We're just waiting for Mumia to give us the okay on a few things, but I can tell you we got something coming for you, family, that's really just what it needs to be, for certain. But anyway, Sister Pam is going to give us an update shortly, and we're going to also talk very soon with our own Mama Gail Cloughton, who is based right here in Philadelphia. She is one of our holistic health healers. She's also a holistic health practitioner. She does Reiki and other kinds of alternative healing modalities. So we're going to be talking with her about an event that's coming up tomorrow at Congo Square. Okay, let's see. We're going to also talk to you about, let's see, this past, I believe it was Thursday in New York. Of course, we didn't hear about the different demonstrations that were going on all over the country on Wednesday and Thursday, and probably on Friday too, but certainly on Thursday, after the day after, what we call the day after a day of awakening, reawakening, Brother Joe Jordan, along with another brother, were arrested on Thursday as a result of a rally, a protest rally that took place up in New York. So Brother Joe's going to be calling in around the 11:30 hour, so you can look forward to that report. He is out now, but the case is still pending. He has been charged, and he's going to tell you more about that as well, so that you can also know how we can help and support as soon as we know what date. And I'm hoping he'll be able to tell us that later on, what date he has to go up for a hearing or whatever it is. We certainly plan on going. At any rate, we're going to talk to Brother Joe Jordan. He's also a member of the New York chapter of the Malcolm X Grassroots Party. And you may have heard him or remember him from a previous show that we did on Sister Reverend Joy Powell. He'll also give us an update on that as well, because as you know, she was, in fact, sentenced in August. Okay, now, moving even forward, let's see, was somebody else we have on tonight? I'm trying to see for you who else is somebody else we have. But again, Sister Pam, Mama Gail, and, of course, Brother Joe. Okay. Oh, I know somebody else. You can't forget my brother, Steve Biko. Steve Biko will be calling in as well from the Atlanta area, and he's going to give us the update on, you know, what went on in Atlanta, because, you know, it was a big rally going on in Atlanta, on especially on Wednesday. But he's going to let us know what else is going on now. And we are prepared. Those of us who really are feeling this situation, have felt it, because for those of you who have been listening to my radio programs for a while, you know, I've been on the air now, on the internet air, since, I can't remember, but it's been at least maybe, I'm trying to remember, it was a sister that was executed in 2000, three. Okay, or thereabouts. Nevertheless, we've been on the air for probably about 7 years now on the internet program. My first show was on, of course, the Harambe Radio, which is one of my sister-brother stations as well. And I'm on there periodically from time to time. But then we moved from the Harambe in order to be able, just to be able to have a little more flexibility than we came to the blog radio. So we had Troy Davis's sister on my show when we were on Harambe Radio, and that had to be at least, I would think, maybe at least 4 to 5 years ago, this is how long we've been talking about the case of Troy Davis. So we were aware and at that time began to put information out about it. Had no idea that, you know, it would come to what it ended up coming to. But, again, I'm going to try to find the clip of Troy Davis's last words before we leave out tonight, because I want to tell you, family, it certainly inspired me. I mean, I was very emotional after it happened, the day, the evening that it happened, and certainly the day after, and even up to this point. Yet, after I heard his words, his last words, it strengthened me. It strengthened me and let me know that, you know, we got to keep this thing moving in his memory. We have to make sure that this cannot happen again, and certainly not in the way that it did. So, family, with that said, I'm going to, again, try to find a clip for you, because if you haven't heard it, you really, really, really should. So, again, we're going to talk with Sister Pam Africa. We're going to talk with Brother Joe Jordan, also Brother Stephen Biko, and certainly coming up very, very shortly will be Mama Gail Cloudon. Okay. Moving right along, let's see, what do I have for you next? I think what I have for you next is just to remind you that we're going to open up the chat room in just maybe about 10 minutes or so, and we want you to also know that starting tomorrow, and Brother Evan, if you're listening, please forgive me because it's just been a bunch of stuff going on this last day. I told Brother I would have some information for him so that he can get this up online for us, because, family, we really need your support in becoming an associate member or an active member of. There's so many different components now of the Million Woman Movement. That's for brothers also. We really need your support now, because when you hear what I'm going to tell you, you will really understand a little better why, because we are really ready to go. And we're looking forward to bringing forward some of what it is that we've been preparing really for the last 5 years or so. So while some thought, just because they didn't hear about certain things the Million Woman March and its movement was doing, well, y'all in for a big surprise, to say the least. And we are so, so looking forward to it. So I want to remind you again, the chat room's going to be open in about 5 minutes or so. And very shortly, we're going to, since we get the cue, that Mama Gail is ready to come on, or that she's on our board, we are then going to get ready to have our chat with Mama Gail Cloud and talk about tomorrow's gathering for the ancestors, for you, for I, for us, at Congo Square, starting at 3 p.m. here in Philadelphia, and it'll go to 9, I believe. Sister Pan Africa and myself will be receiving awards there tomorrow. And so I've been asked to invite, I think it was at least 7 people. Well, I think I got more than 7 people listening tonight. And definitely looking at my voice, I got more than 7 people from Philly. So certainly, you know, we hope that once you hear this information that you will come out and join us, okay? So tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we want you to make sure you come out. Okay, let's see what we got going on here. I'm looking at my boys, and I'm looking to see if I don't see Mama Gail or Sister Pam. If you are on, you need to push 1 so that I know it is you, okay? Because I can't, there's a lot of calls going right now, and I cannot tell if it's you if you haven't pushed. Okay, I got you now. I see you. All right, very good. All right, we have three. Mama Gail, I think I'm going to come to you next, and then we're going to have Sister Pam right after that. Mama Gail, I'm opening you up right now. All right, let's see what we got right here. Hold on, there we go. All right, Mama Gail, are you on this line?
Peace and love, family.
Peace
Can
and
you
love
hear me?
You. Good, thanks. Good to hear you tonight, my sister.
Thank you. It's good to be heard.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you.
So, Mama Gail, tell us about what's going on tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow, I'm very excited to say we're going to just gather. The object is to bring as many people together, especially leaders in our community, together as possible. And we're honoring ancestors that I discovered through a spirit guide in the records. There was some records that were put together by someone on, and I found it actually on the internet. It was a list of our ancestors in the 1860 U.S. Census, and they were listed as slaves. I was directed, as I said, by a spirit guide to look for ancestors that were 100 or more years old. And so when I did, I was pleasantly surprised to see that someone had already put these records together. And I was doing research at the time, genealogy research, and I was guided, as I said, and to see that there were 1,555, I always say plus, ancestors that were listed that were 100, and the oldest that I saw was 150 years old. And so I began 4 years ago by honoring them, and I started in June, and the next year I did July, and then last year I did August. So I said, okay, September we will honor them. And so I decided for 12 years I would go to the next month. Well, a few days ago, it was given to me, since we have so many people who are doing great things, in, as I say, to improve homes, schools, and communities, it was given to me that I should celebrate people that are living and doing what I believe people did back then, to live to be 100 to 150 years old. All I could think was, how many lives did these people affect? How many generations have been affected by, you know, by them living? And so I looked at people that I know and people that I love that are doing great things, and I truly believe that those of us that are really working are affecting generations to come. Babies not yet born will be affected by things that we do. So it was given to me a few days ago, and I didn't even put flyers out up until I think yesterday or the day before, because it may have been 4 days that it was given to me to do it this way, to honor over this year 1,555 people that are doing something. And it seemed to me that's not really difficult, because each person that we will honor, we're asked to, we're asking each person that we honor to give us the name of 7 people that are doing things like they are, and invite 11 people. So it was given to me also to then connect with institutions and museums that are ours and let people know about it. So we're starting at Congo Square because of the rich history. It was a gathering spot, as I've read, for free and enslaved people, that it was a place that they gathered at because it was a burial site. So they actually honor their ancestors there. So I've gotten a lot of information about Congo Square, and I'm still getting information. So we're going to start there tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're asking people to come and to bring blankets, lawn chairs, tables, chess sets, checkers, cards, games, whatever. Bring your children. Come and bring something to share. Bring bottled water, juice, soda, desserts, food. Come and bring something to share. We're asking people to come and sing, come and do spoken word, play music, whatever. Just come together, and we're calling it a community love gathering for healing. Mm-hmm. And we're to celebrate that they lived. And the reason why I use LIVED, lived, because I kept saying when I first discovered this list, that they didn't just survive. If you live to be 100, 150 years old, it seemed to me you lived. You didn't just survive. You lived. And we can't even imagine the things that they experienced during those years. So I keep saying they lived. And so, again, to honor their lives, I want to honor people who are living and doing great things today. So we start, as I said, Washington Square Park tomorrow. It was called Congo Square. It is between 6th and 7th and Walnut and Spruce Street. So it's between 6th and 7th and between Walnut and Spruce Streets. And, again, we're asking anybody, everyone is welcome, bring your chairs, bring your friends, your family, and come out and just enjoy being together and getting connected. The next event we're going to be doing is at Lest We Forget, Museum of African American Slavery and Culture Center, and that's on Saturday, October 29th, from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we're going to have an open house and award ceremony at that time. There's a $7 donation for that one. But again, we're just asking people to, and my number, we're asking people to call and give the names of people that they think that should be honored with this, because we all know people that are doing great things. So give me a call, and my number is 215-476-1278. That's 215-476-1278. Again, everyone is welcome, and we just need you to tell us why you believe the person should be honored. And, again, it's a way to connect one another. There are a lot of people all over this city who are doing things, and they're doing them in areas sometimes they never cross paths. So this is a way to bring everybody together so that we all can see one another and know what we're doing.
Mama Gil, thank you so much. And what I'd like to do is to get you back on maybe next week so that you can give us a report, or we can talk about what it is that happened tomorrow. But before I let you go, if you don't mind, I'm going to bring Sister Pam in, because she's also one of the honorees. And before we let you go, I just want the two of you to just kind of speak a little bit about the rally we had here in Philadelphia on Wednesday. Both of you were there. You saw the energy. You saw the love that the people, our people, had, and certainly in dealing with this issue. So what I want to do is, I think I might have just lost Sister Pam. My goodness, what happened? Isn't that something? Just that quick. So I lost her. Well, she'll call right back. Girl, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, somehow I just lost Sister Pam. So what I'm going to do is wait for her to call back in. In the meantime, if you would, just elaborate a little bit about what you felt and saw on Wednesday.
It was, for me, it was very interesting just walking up and walking into the energy. I felt a lot of love, a lot of compassion and humility for the brother, and just to be amongst people who were so committed to his well-being. That's the best way I can say it. For me, it's difficult to express. I don't know. The best way I can say it is when I walked up, I guess my first feeling was love, just pure love, to see people standing for what is right, as I say all the time, just seeing them standing for what is right. And I just kept thinking it could have been any one of our brothers, fathers, uncles, cousins, any one of us. And many of us who were out there, I'm sure, has a relative that's been incarcerated or is incarcerated for something. And it was just a lot of love. And then it was like a roller coaster ride to get reports. I don't know, I was there, but I probably was more of an observer because I paid attention to everything, being a mom. That's what we tend to do. And so I sort of stepped back and I watched the reaction of the people that were standing for Troy, but also people that were curious as to what was going on. Sometimes we in our daily lives are oblivious to things that are going on around us. And I watched people as they were passing by, and they were curious as to what was going on. And there were people from other countries that looked like us that were stopping, and they were curious. And one young man that I spoke to was from the first one that I spoke to was from Ethiopia, and he said he had come down the day before, and he saw people standing outside. And so he wanted to come back today. So he was very curious. There were people passing by that were very curious, as I said, in stopping and asking questions. And he expressed what he felt. And he said, this shouldn't happen in the United States. And he told me stories about Saudi Arabia and the kind of things that he saw there. And he said, this shouldn't happen in the United States, where they put people to death. And then there was another young man that came, and he was from Egypt. And he stood and he asked questions and talked about what was going on. Compassion. I saw people come together who ordinarily might not come together. That's the best way I can express it, Sister Philae.
Well, Mama Gil, thank you so, so very much. And somehow I still lost Sister Pam, but I know she's going to get in. And if you're still on, I'll patch you back in. But I'm going to go to another caller now. Was there any closing statements you wanted to make on tomorrow?
I want to say love, peace, and gratitude to each one that's listening. That's an affirmation that we're using now. Love, peace, and gratitude. That's what I want to say. It's time to stand up for what is right, because it's the right thing to do. And I love you, and I thank you so much.
Indeed, indeed. And we love you too, Mama Gail.
Thank you. Good night,
right,
family.
All right, that's right. All right, family, that was Mama Gil Clowden. And remember, tomorrow, and we're going to announce it throughout the show, just in case you didn't get the information, you need it again. We're going to announce it a few more times, so don't worry, you will definitely get it. I'm going to go to caller 1165. You had a comment that you wanted to make.
Well, how come I can't get in?
Oh, that's you. Pam?
I've been here on the phone for the longest.
Damn,
I didn't realize you said what I'm saying.
Okay, you're on now.
I was on before, during the whole time you was talking with Mama Gail.
Okay, you're on now. You're on live.
Okay.
Welcome.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks. I'm sorry I missed, dialoguing with Mama Gail.
Okay, well, she's still there, but go ahead, because I
told
her I'd catch her back in.
Okay, she's still there?
Well, she's still on, but whenever we're ready to patch her in, I can just hit the thing and get her in. So, do you want to go back to her now, or you want to go ahead with just having our dialogue with, what you felt about before, because of course you're going to give us a report on Brother Moomin. So, folks
right,
already
right,
know that
right.
We started off at the top with that. But you wanted to talk some more with Mama Gail, because she's on the boards. So I just need to patch her in.
I'll definitely be there tomorrow, Mama Gail. I don't know about 11 people, but I'll make them phone calls, and, we'll be there. And, see, I play pinochle,
Okay.
I'll be coming. I'm here, and I look forward to anybody, and I want to know. I'm a head hunter, and I like to rub head when I play pinochle. So, back to a, more serious note about Brother Troy Davis. Are we still together?
Yep,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
how I felt the few days that we were demonstrating up to the point of, you know, Friday. You know, as long as we continue to fight, this government want us to feel hopeless. And in talking with Mumia yesterday, I asked him, because a lot of people said, you know, ask him how he feel, what's his health like. Mumia said, well, Pam, he says, I'm 58 years old. And he says, and I can do 58 push-ups whenever I hit the floor. And he says, and, you know, and it goes like boom, boom, boom. And he was affected by, you know, what went on with Brother Troy Davis. And, you know, everything is similar, you know, in his case. And but one thing he do know, and that you can never stop fighting. And when you feel hopeless, and that's wasted energy. And this government wants you to feel hopeless. Mm-hmm. And you must continue to fight. And look at everything that is happening as a result. And Mumia pointed out, you know, it was never his choice to be on death row. You don't choose. You think Martin Luther King got up one morning or Malcolm X got up one morning and say, you know, well, I choose to be here on the front line and, you know, with your lives, you know, on the line. I never thought that I would be in the position that I'm in, or neither did you, Sister Philippa, I'm in jail. And, but, you know, these are, you know, this is what was dealt with us, you know, dealt to us in life, and it's how we handle it. We're up against a beast that is determined to destroy all forms of life. And part of him, of this monster doing this, you know, is to make people feel hopeless and feel as though that, you know, your only way to survive is to, is that they produce there. And, you know, when you go that way, you have lost. And the only way that you can stay victorious, and I'm saying, and we are, is that we continue to fight this thing until we beat it down to its knees. And when our brother Nelson Mandela, and you know, was released from prison, and it was behind the fact that people was consistent.
That's right.
Continued to do the work. When they shot down, beat up the children in Soweto, you know, designed to make it just stop, but people continue. When you look at the war over in Iraq, Iran, Libya, people continue to fight and fight this government with all that it has, and you know, for each day. And when you look and you see Judge Mathis on, you know, the TV judge, and who took and put, you know, his job and everything on the line as an example to people of what it is that they should be doing. And I don't know whether people seen that or not. Sister Filet, I know you have the link, and you can tell people where to find it at. And but you got, you know, you have to see that. When Michael Moore and you know, stated that, his books, he pulled every last book out of the state of Georgia, and he will not go there. And because things are happening now that never happened before. People have taken to the street and they have demonstrated. But, you know, when you look and you find that, you know, that hope that people put in things that are hopeless, like, you know, Barack Obama, and, you know, and a lot of people's just terribly just messed up because, you know, this is the same man that dropped the bomb, and, you know, the first black mayor in Philadelphia dropped the bomb on the Africa family. The first black president of the United States dropping bombs on Africa. And, you know, and a lot of people are still hopeless. That's because their faith is in the wrong thing. And you can never put your faith within the system. You have always got to put it on the people and the rise of the people who will not stand by and tolerate that. How do Mumia feel? He do not feel hopeless. He told me, he says, you know how I'm doing them push-ups now? They're going like, woof, 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 you know, real fast. And, you know, meaning that he's picking up that pace and getting stronger as he's doing that. So, you know, hopeless, you know, is not what he's feeling. And, you know, he's feeling more determined to fight this, you know, thing, you know, this monster. And, you know, like they say, from the cradle to the grave.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And, you know, another example, you know, like with us, you know, attacked our home, when RZA attacked our home in 1978, and attempted to kill every man, woman, and child in that family. RZA was the one who stated, and now I can invade Cuba if I want to, and but where's RZA at? People who believed in RZA, and because of that attack on our family, and sort of like quiet down and wouldn't do, but RZA and his administration is dying. Majority of them people is there. We're still moving strong. When they dropped that bomb on May 13th, the judge that was involved in it, and he's locked in some vault and will never feel air, will never feel water, and for the rest of his life. But I'm saying here we are. We have more children now than we had then, and these children, these second generation, these are all determined to fight, and the same stance that we took then is the stance that we continue to take, and that this system must fall, and there will be casualties along the way, and but I'm saying we got to keep right on pushing. It's been this way since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And how many empires have been destroyed? This is just another empire that is crumbling before us, because when they did what they did to Troy Davis, they got a response that's unbelievable. They can't believe that, everybody's coming after them. And, Mumia has enjoyed worldwide support, for decades. He's into his third decade here. But when people saw that, our emails, it was 4,000 hits on the email, between the time of the execution and today. So I'm saying, and people are doing more.
That's right.
They're doing more.
That's right.
Hopeless is something that people should not feel. What people should feel is that they got to do the work, because hopelessness is a wasted energy.
And, and with that said, I don't know if you know Pam, and we're going to have him on at the 11:30 hour. Brother Joe and another brother was arrested on Thursday up in New York. They had a rally up in New York, and several people ended up being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that also because people need to know what happened here in Philadelphia, that it almost got a little touchy.
Ooh, yeah, it did.
On
yeah, I'm
Wednesday
glad you said
night.
That. Yeah.
Pam, before you speak further, I want you to know that you're breaking up, so I'm not sure if you can move somewhere else because I'm getting a lot of static on your phone.
Breaking up.
So, yeah, you were breaking up.
How's
this? Okay, yeah, you still want a little bit.
Okay.
No, but
this phone puts
better.
Me the house phone. It puts me outside sometimes. How's
okay.
this?
Yeah, it goes in and out, but that's okay. We're still hearing you. Just not hearing you as clearly as it. Some parts of it is clearer than others, but it's okay.
Okay.
At any rate, Wednesday here in Philadelphia, Mama Gail, and you were also there, but Sister Pam definitely. I mean, her and that cop, especially a Negro cop. The white ones were sitting back there kind of laughing. The Negro one, who I think was a sergeant,
right.
Sister Pam, you were interacting with him. What was going on with that?
Well, the first thing that happened, we had the banner on the wall of the clothespin where we had it at the day before.
Right.
And
right.
I don't know whether it was you who came over and said that, we was told to take the banner down. And
right.
so I wanted to know, well, who said it? So it was pointed out to this black guard from, the building, and he was the one who delivered the message, and with the two cops that he came over with, a black cop and a white cop. So I went over to ask him, why was it said? He said he didn't know. So I says, well, who told you to tell us to take the banner down? Because it was up yesterday. So he said, I don't have to answer no questions to you. I said, indeed you do. And, one thing led to another. We just had to, explain to him exactly, who he is and what it is that he's doing. The banner is talking about, the murder. The murder plot, you know, of an innocent black man, and I'm getting information, and he tell me I don't want to hear that shit, and you know, so things went to another level, and you know, and of you know, like going back and forth, but every confrontation that we had, and then he went and placed himself foolishly, and in between two white cops, and you know, we're explaining to him that's your fear, that's not our fear. And, you know, we're not afraid of these cops. You are. And that's why you went there. And the reason why you did is because you know you're doing something wrong. You know, we're not backing down from you. And we're explaining to you and trying to save your life. And, you know, and then it was one black cop. He was there the day before. And and he'd be right there at 15th and Market at the clothespin harassing, you know, especially black folks, black youth, and he was threatening to twist his foot off and some brothers behind because he wasn't moving fast enough for him. And I'm saying it was, you know, they were stopped and they was listening to the information that we were putting out. And at one point when we was deciding to take the street, and which we had decided, you know, the day before we'd take the street at 7 o'clock. Well, we had heard that they had already started putting an injection into, you know, Troy Davis. So we took the street, and you know, and you know, it was so strategically done because we had people on all three corners right there at 15th and Market on City Hall side, and then on the north side and the south side of Market Street, you know, right there at 15th. When we took the street, you know, they were shocked. They did, they, you know, because they wasn't prepared for it, and they really didn't know what to do. And the cars was like, you know, they kept like trying to move up on us, but everybody maintained their position. And people in wheelchairs, you know, got out into the middle of the street to back the traffic up. And because our position was, since they wasn't stopping the execution, then everything around there was going to stop, because once you block off 15th Street over here by Market, and you go, you know, where they go around City Hall, and then you block up, block off Market Street, traffic is tied up, and you know, and that's what was happening. So then they decided to send in the bicycle cops, and you know, when they came in with their bicycles, and they stood there, they was really confused about what to do, and because one thing, people be hearing the information. I don't care whether they're in these, you know what mood is. Some people, and you know, hear, where other people, like those two cops we was talking about, was not hearing, and because they could have been really brutal, you know, with those bikes, but they was like pushing the people back. But when they pushed the people back, the people just, you know, moved around and came around the other side, and just, you know, just kept, you know, blocking off the street till finally they blocked off, you know, where you come around City Hall and you go up JFK. They wasn't allowing no traffic in to the area where we was at, and then they blocked off as far as 16th and Market. But again, and you know, the people was victorious because our thing was to block up, tie up all their traffic to bring attention to what was going on. There was absolutely no media there, but once we had taken that street and all the traffic and stuff was blocked up, Fox News was able to get through and, you know, put out that, you know, we were there. And one thing, you know, I was really pissed because I'm looking at the Tribune today, right? And it's as if the demonstration in Philadelphia didn't happen. By all means, report about what was going on in Atlanta. But, you know, people here took a stand up, you know, a continuous stand. You know, against what was happening with Troy, and we've been doing it for years, and a very upfront, visible thing. No one covered our story. No one in the Tribune covered what was happening right here in Philadelphia. And, you know, that brings me to, you know, a lot of things. You know, we have got to force these people. I remember in 1978 during the MOVE confrontation, they didn't want to cover it, but we forced them. We started going up to those newspapers. The Philadelphia Inquirer, when it started doing favorable news and, you know, towards Mumia, and I'm just saying, you know, showing the other side. You know, you say what you want to say about Al Faulkner. But, you know, you covered a side, you know, Mumia's side, and put his side out. And that was happening for a while because we was in massive numbers coming up. It was happening for a while because at that particular point, David Richardson was there, and he was pulling in other black elected officials. It was there, you know, it was happening there because you had people like Reverend Shepherd, Reverend Wells, Reverend Weeks, and, you know, Stanley Colbert, and, you know, black men standing up, you know, and, you know, calling out and on the radios and things for people to join us. I was so angry, you know, at the fact that when you looked around and all these radio people who are now prostituting, and that's what they're doing. The black radio stations are prostituting, you know, and papers are prostituting. I'm talking about the mainstreams. I'm not talking about the ones, you know, like this station. Of course, I'm quite sure people know that. And, you know, and the many good radio, papers of the people that's on the street. And but none of them, you know, have been actually doing, you know, what is right. But now, you know, every day they're talking about how wrong it was. I'm saying it would have been good because I remember back in the day, Georgie Woods and, you know, even Mary Mason, they would have had people in the street. They would have had people in the street. And, you know, Dave Richardson and, you know, the whole group of them. And they called on their constituents, and we came together in large numbers. And when the people, you know, rose up, when the cops, you know, shot somebody in North Philadelphia or beat somebody darn near to death, we was in massive numbers, and we all came there as one. And they had something to deal with, and they backed down. Now they just, you know, when they kill out, you know, people in the street, and when they do these executions, that, you know, none of them is there. And I'm saying it's 100% wrong. Now you can hear, you know, a lot of these politicians and all now up front saying, you know, yeah, Troy was wrong, because they see, you know, people, you know, taking a stand around the world. Everybody's talking about how wrong this was. They got a bigger whiplash now than they did when Tookie Williams was executed. They got a bigger whiplash now than when they killed Shaka Sankofa and, you know, another person that was clearly innocent. And they got a bigger whiplash now than when they killed Zion Israel in Indiana, who was the first and Panther who to be executed, because a lot of people said, you know, Mumia is the first Black Panther and a former Black Panther and to face execution. No, they executed Zion Israel. And Zion Israel, yes, he did. He killed some police officers. The police officers was undercover officers. This is a brother who worked in the streets and to get drugs out of his community. And, you know, and he was very effective, you know, in it. And everybody know that the police was part of the cover-up of drugs in our neighborhood, was making sure that they was in there and gave people protection and stuff. This brother was fighting against this. He home one night with his family, and here come these undercover cops with guns and stuff up into his home, and he protected his home. How the hell, I mean, they didn't have no blue suits on. And, you know, and even if they did have them cop killing blue on, and, you know, if you come into somebody's home and that's innocent or, you know, whatever, and you pulling guns, you got the right to defend yourself. And he did. And as a result of, you know, him and rightfully, righteously, and manly defending his home, and they executed him instead of going after the cops who came there undercover, and for what he was known for, having drugs. And they killed Zion Israel. And, you know, and I constantly bring his name up because a lot of people do not remember or even deal with the name of Brother Zion Israel. And Corrine Sykes, right here in Philadelphia, I couldn't remember her name the other night.
Woman.
And we were talking. Yeah. Corrine Sykes, you know, the only woman that was killed here in Philadelphia, I think. And she was an innocent black woman, you know, who was killed right here in Philadelphia. that event that we're going to tomorrow, like I said, I'm bringing my pinochle deck, and we're going to all, so we're going to talk,
That's
about
right.
how things we can do. Brother Komi Sankofa is this Wednesday is doing a fundraiser for the work that I do. Because, I had to go to Michael Kors' office, to the attack meeting, and Brother Michael Kors was right down there, making sure that, if we needed legal help, that he was there. He was in and out, because he was taking care, stuff for his clients and stuff, but he kept coming out there to make sure that, we were okay. He was the only lawyer. And I'm wondering if Brother Leon Williams is sick, because I haven't seen him, for a minute, but he was that other lawyer that you can turn around and look at these demonstrations against police brutality and at these demonstrations where, these cops have gone on and killed somebody and are at the Board of Education. You can always look to find Leon there, and I haven't seen him, as of lately, and I'm just hoping that, Brother Leon Williams is, okay, so I'm definitely getting a shout-out. But when
Pam, he was out was out when we were demonstrating for Dr. Ackerman at the school district, so he was okay a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna give him a call, because as I was talking, that name came up, and I kept saying, I'm gonna call him. So this is the call. Let's make sure that brother, is all right. And like I was saying, Brother Komi Sankofa at the Rotunda is doing a fundraiser, to help us out to do the work. With Mumia, we need money for flyers. We need money to travel, to bring people into this city. Because where people here who is supposed to move isn't moving. You have to bring them in to help people, that is working to end a lot of this oppression, on us. So that's what it is. And, also to give a legal update, on Mumia. On December the 9th, which marks 30 years since Mumia's been incarcerated, the night that, this government, beating, shotting, attempted to kill him, threw him in jail, and then once somebody killed one of their cops, and it's clearly it wasn't Mumia, it'll be 30 years since they kidnapped him off the street and tortured him the way that, the way that they have. And over those 30 years, it's been clear that, Mumia is innocent. The evidence is clearly there. And this government is saying at this particular point that there's two things that's happening with this case. Either Mumia will get life in prison without the possibility of parole or a death sentence. And neither one of them is acceptable to us, because based on law, based on legality, Mumia is innocent. And what it should have been done years ago was Mumia should have been released. And that's our call. We're not playing these games with these people and allow the criminal who threw out the evidence in the case knowingly. People knew that. A lot of lawyers said, when he get to the federal level he'll be released because there's a lot of criminology stuff that's happening on the state and the state level here but once it hit that federal and every time it hit someplace you find out that each one is you can't say more corrupt, because corrupt is corrupt. There's corruption all the way across. They keep throwing out evidence, but they want us to pretend that they go along with them saying that Mumia had a fair trial. He didn't. And the evidence is, really clear. So we managed to get on December the 9th, which these people was very upset about, is the Constitutional Center, the whole center, because of the constitutional violations. And people are calling to come in to be a part of this program and you know, and demonstration that whole day. We're planning from Thursday, and our brother Herman Ferguson, and you know, who had to go in exile, and who wrote a book, An Unlikely Warrior, and he's coming in on December the 8th. December the 9th is the big indoor rally, and things will be going on that day leading up to it. On December the 10th, it's going to be, which is Human Rights Day, a international hip-hop spoken word artist forum at, you know, in Germantown. And then we're trying to work, like, on that Sunday to do, you know, like a large ecumenical, you know, service. And want to make it clear, we're not going to be the only ones that's doing something on this 30th year, because the other side, and you know, is planning some things as well. And we don't know, you know, they usually do one day, but we're planning on doing something before December 9th and after December 9th. And we will have enough people in the city of Philadelphia to carry it through, because when our job is to stamp out the lie and replace it with the truth. And also, that's why we had the plans of a lot of people coming in here. We're going to need commercial time. I mean, you know, commercial time. And our WRD, Power 99, and you know, those commercials that we get done, and I know last year was $1,000 for 10, you know, for 10 commercials on WURD. I forget how much it was, much more for Power, you know, 99.
Sure.
But we need, you know, we need to be raising the monies, and also that, you know, that week, you know, when it comes. And we'll have it. Another thing that we're planning on doing, and what we're doing now is contacting people like Immortal Technique and African Bambaataa, KRS-One, and to let people know, and to get into Philadelphia on December the 9th. Twitter, use your email or whatever. Wednesday will be the first large meeting of, you know, to gather people around for whatever it is that need to be done. People also got to know that in Philadelphia, the National Lawyers Guild, and which is a bunch of lawyers that's supposed to be to the left of the right wing, and which Mumia is, he was the president of the National Lawyers Guild. They made him that. These are legal lawyers from Harvard, Princeton, and different other places. And that they made Mumia the president of the National Lawyers Guild for years, and now he's the vice president. And the National Lawyers Guild goes around to different, you know, states. This time in Pennsylvania, and the city is Philadelphia. And when it got here, the lawyers in Philadelphia were saying, you know, oh, you know, no, you know, he can't speak here, because if he speak here, and, you know, we can lose our jobs, and, you know, we can be banded here. And, you know, our position was, they got to be kidding. And, you know, it's no way in the world that they're going to come here to Philadelphia and there will not be a you know, because Mumia always does his commentaries, or either he's allowed to, he always call in at these different things. But they didn't want it here because of their fear of the government here. Now, I'm telling you, these are lawyers. If, you know, Mumia got a worldwide movement behind them. These lawyers here fear this government, this system here. So, you know, if they are too afraid to do something right in dealing with Mumia, you better ask yourselves, well, what has happened with these lawyers when it comes to my people?
Mm-hmm.
No? But see what happened, and because, you know, people love Mumia. They love Mumia because of the fight and the consistency that he has, you know, maintained, that revolutionary consistency to go up against this government, whether he's on the street or in the bowels of the belly of the beast, death row. And, you know, he don't pull no punches. So when it came time, when it got to Philadelphia, these other lawyers and other people was letting them know, well, we'll turn this place out. And ain't nowhere in the world the National Lawyers Guild with Mumia's vice president. And your fear is not the government. Your fear is the people. The people. And, you know, so they wound up Mumia speaking there. You know, you also have, you know, Minister Farrakhan coming in during this time, and in October. October is going to be a hot month here, because you got the National Gil, you have, I'm saying, these are places where we can work and get the word out, you know, and get people to get back here on the 9th. And we're going to need help. We're going to need people, you know, being out there with us. We're going to need people, you know, we're going to be needing flyers and things, you know, to give to these people and all about what's going on here. Like I said, Minister Farrakhan to be here on the, I think it's from the 8th to the 10th, the 8th, 9th, and the 10th. And
well, he'll be here specifically on the 8th and the 9th. He'll be
right. Okay. Then we have the Black Panthers in our convention here, the 40th anniversary of the Black Panthers, and this is the first time that they're holding a conference here. And theirs is on the weekend, I believe, the 26th, 27th, 28th. Then we have also Sister Filet and all, who's doing the you know, a whole thing for the brothers to come together and all, you know, where they can meet and deal with this issue of violence and all to Black women. And I'm so glad that she had Brother Automatics from New York and all, who is a sure enough soldier who don't back down. They took his license because he refused to turn traitor and all, you know, and not do the right thing by his client. I'm talking about the sister Tawana Brawley. I went to a lot of those trials up there. This girl, you know, and they have people, Black folks, repeating what the white man wants them to say, and all, and that is that the girl was lying and that she was not raped by these white cops. And they went as far as attempting to lock this brother up. They took his license. And, you know, not only did he come to her defense when this young sister here in Philadelphia, and I think she was from Jamaica, Queens, in New York. She came here and to a baseball game, and these youth, these white, beefy, heavy, look like football player youth,
yeah,
they took and raped that child. They raped that child, and they worked for Rita's, and on it happened there. We couldn't get people to rise up and do what it was that they were supposed to do. And our Automatics brought a posse of folks in here. And, you know, and we helped demonstrate and take the street, you know, over this. Because, see, we was dealing with big business there. And we was dealing with the children of racists, you know.
Right.
And, you know, the media was acting as if the little girl was lying and all, she was clearly, you know, raped and all, she was, you know, and sodomized and all,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's dealing with this other case where this guy who would have been running for president or prime minister of France and all, you know, big money person, raped. And, you know, a sister who had a job as, like, what is it, a chambermaid or something. She was going in the room to change. And this man has a history of doing this kind of stuff. And but when, you know, they start demonizing the sister in the paper, and, you know, it was Automatics who came to her defense. And and when I met Automatics through Leon Williams, and he used to have, it was a restaurant, I can't think of it, up in Germantown. And they used to have meetings, and they brought him there. And I was invited to talk about Mumia that day. When I told him about the case of Mumia and laid the facts on him, that man, and, you know, Sister Filet, you can attest to it, and when we came to court with Mumia, they had 2 busloads, sometimes 3, and they gave them lunch, and they packed them people with lunches and stuff, had them come down here to help us protest and bring attention to what was happening, you know, in the case of Mumia. When Mumia was railroaded, and his legal mail was being, you know, tampered with by how Governor Ridge knew to sign, you know, to sign that death warrant and that the lawyers wasn't ready was because the prison was taking Mumia's legal mail and sending it to the governor and sending it to the DA. And so Mumia had filed the suit there. And Billy who was Mumia's brother, who everybody was saying that they believed that Billy killed Officer Faulkner, which was another lie, and it just didn't happen that way. And the police had put along, they said, well, where's Billy at? Well, where's Billy? And they had terrorized that brother so bad, and that, he just wasn't visible, you know, to them. And but when Mumia went to court, the federal court in Pittsburgh, the brother appeared down there in Pittsburgh. The following day, front page of the newspaper, the Daily News, was the picture of Billy. And, saying that they had a warrant for, you know, for his arrest. So Billy was coming forth to testify for his brother again and then went under. But Austin Maddox filed. He's from out of New York. And he filed that case all the way down there. And, this brother is just a dynamite brother. And I met for the first time and I seen him. Dr. Henderson, is that his name, Sister Filet?
Brother Maurice, Dr. Maurice Henderson?
Yes. And
yes.
And I kept asking Sister Filet, I said, well, who is the other person? And she was getting sort of upset because I'd be so busy sometimes. And I go to put out information. I said, what's his name? I will never forget the brother. And I seen him before. And she kept saying, you know him? And I'm like, no, I don't. And but I went to an event last week or week before last. They was honoring Sister Basima Muhammad. And the brother did the play on his poem on Katrina. And breathtaking. And he puts you there. And then come to find out that, you know, this brother is a professor and, you know, he teaches students. He have a love for black people and he gives his all. And, because not only do he teach, after he get out of school, college, and teaching, and he's into the community. And and he have a love for black women. He have a love for black women. Austin Maddox have a love for black women. And they want to pull brothers together and try to stop the violence on black women. So I'm saying the month of October is a dynamite organizing month. It's a dynamite educating month. It's a dynamite time for all of us to pull together with all the problems that we have and, you know, work together and go at this system and all like it has never been going at before.
And of course, I would be remiss to say, if I didn't say rather, that it's also the 14-year anniversary of the largest gathering in the world.
Yes.
Of any women anywhere. And there will be special sessions specifically about that, too, during the month of October.
You say of any woman anywhere, of anything anywhere. Sister Filet, and, I got to bring this one up. Do you remember, I think it was under John Street, and when they was going to bring this huge, event there, and I think they had Stevie Wonder. I mean, they had pulled in all the big names, and they said this was going to be the largest gathering that Philadelphia ever had. Never. And, and I remember, too, when they wrote in the newspaper about, because they was talking about gatherings, how this gathering was going to be the biggest. They didn't have the Million Woman March in there. But the fact that the government itself said it was 2.5 million, and this was said on the day of the Million Woman March, that it was 2.5 million women there, and that was done by an aerial shot. We know damn well that it was a whole lot more if they say 2.5. And there has never, ever been a gathering as large as that. And that gathering was so powerful that, they try to hide it. You don't hear people talk about the Million Woman March like they talk about any other marches. And because of the power that brought together, the power of black women. And, that's why this government is always trying to destroy the image of black women, the mother of civilization.
Pam, the other key thing in connecting Mumia and connecting, of course, Troy Davis as far as the situation of the prison industrialized complex, The real one watch, of course, made sure that those issues, those things were brought forward worldwide. Of course, you spoke there, Sister Pam, Sister Ramona, and, of course, with your assistance, we were able to get message directly from Sister Sada, and not to mention Sister Winnie Mandela, who at the time was under the attack not only of the United States government, but also of the South African government. So to assure that it could go no further, so they hope, meaning that we were not able to continue, they then created these fronts, these pretend and false fraud people to try to make it seem like they were, in fact, founders or whatever the main woman was. Needless to say, that all failed, too. But the point being, come October, we have some powerful announcements that's going to be made, and it's going to, Pam, you think 97 was something that's going to rock them like you ain't going to believe. Well, no, you will believe.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to be rocked. I rock, but I stay
with you. A lot of folks ready to be rocked.
I never forget the filet, and when you called and said that you was going in Philadelphia, that you was going to do the Million Woman March. And I
was
so that night, and I was like, okay, I'm going to help you. And my thing was, I wouldn't give a darn if it was $5,000, $10,000. I was going to give that help. I'm telling you, to see that actual movement from the birth, from the thought, on into $2.5 million, and all, you know,
and
the women that had gathered around to
do
that work. It was
back
just
for
it was,
1 minute, because some people seem to think that it was a committee or a group that came together. You, of all people, know that you got one call from one person way, 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 way before anything was formalized or formulated.
Right.
You, Sister
that
Alicia Barr.
Meeting. You know, sprung out of a meeting from Omea that you had called on South
That's
Street.
Right.
And was it Abercrombie's
right.
or, you know.
At your store.
Yeah. And then we wound up having the meetings around the corner. And
right.
And then
you're right. We moved to Abercrombie because the meetings got so big.
Yeah.
We then took them down the street. That's right.
Then they wound up being in some building around the corner. Then they
That's
wound
right.
up being
sure.
at 4601. And
right.
in a small apartment. Then you wound up taking a whole floor. It was magnificent.
Yep.
Well, that's where
that's
I can
right.
jump in, because my relaxation center was at 4601,
mm-hmm.
and I was working, and there was all this buzz and sisters coming in all day and late into the evening, and it was one of the most exciting things that I had ever bared witness to. I wasn't there doing the work, but I watched as people did the work, and I came to the Million Woman March, and I was in that crowd of all those beautiful sisters. So I was on the outside looking in most of the time. But to see the sisters and to see the excitement, and it built, it seemed like it built every day more and more,
mm-hmm.
And more people joined in and wanted to join in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to leave.
And the brothers.
May I just share one thing with you before I leave? I just need to say I've gotten a lot of spiritual messages, and I try to deliver them as much as I can. One of the things that I learned from the spirit world is that this is our time. This is our time, as Mother Earth is going through a transformation and this planet is healing. As it's going through that, this is our time to take our place. And one of the messages that I want to leave you with is that we are to re-remember, that we are to reconnect, that we are to recommit and reclaim. And that's a message that I got. And I just want to leave you with that we are to re-remember. They said we've remembered before, that we are to reconnect, that we are to recommit and reclaim.
All
this
right.
is ours.
You,
and it's time for us to stand up and take our place. And one of the other messages that I was told to tell people is to step out of fear and
mm-hmm.
walk in faith. Step out of fear and walk in faith. So I want to say peace and love to everyone. as I started, love, peace, and gratitude. God bless. Right. Thank you so much.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. And sisters, I look forward to handing you an award. It's just a piece of paper, but it's so much more in my heart for you and the work that you have done and the work that you continue to do. And I want to say for everyone listening, if you're in our area, please come out to connect like you've never done it before, because this particular place is holy ground. Our people are buried there. Our people gathered there. And I believe this is the beginning. As they told me, we're to go back to the basics for new beginnings. And so that's why we're going to Congo Square, which is what it was called when our people gathered there. And we're to reconnect like they did in the past. I love you all. Peace and thank you.
We love you too, Mama Gail.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. That was Mama
Gail.
And before we leave tonight, we're going to give you the information again about tomorrow, time, location, and so forth. We're talking still with Sister Pam Africa, and what we're going to do is just take a quick question. Sister Pam, do you mind a question?
No, cool.
Okay, all right. Paula, you're at 9595. You have a comment, a question for us tonight?
Yeah, how we doing, Empress?
Hey, Brother Evan, all right.
Good. I'm on the move.
Yeah, much love and respect, Sister Pam. I had a quick question about the young woman of Philadelphia that you were talking about that was raped outside the baseball game.
Yes.
Do you know what her name was?
I did. I cannot think of her name. I really can't. And I can get that name for you at a later time.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah. And I think she was about 12. Wasn't she a kid?
Yep, I remember. But see, that's why we developed the Black Women's Defense League, because there's nothing here in Philadelphia, actually nationwide, that is specifically for and about addressing rape, murder, molestation, and so forth of our women and girls. And so that was one of the things that we realized. We had to get something and develop it so that it could be on hand, on board, consistently, not always reactionary. So that's what we've been putting together over the years, and that's what we now have.
I remember something about that time, too, because during that time, we had went down to family court. And because, Dad, what is this black judge name? I can't think of it right now, and I hope it'll come to me as we're talking. Down at South Philadelphia High, and some white kids jumped some black kids, and the black kids wound up beating them up. The black kids wound up going to being locked up, and it was like around the Christmas holidays. The white boys that raped this 12-year-old child, the black judge allowed them to go home for house arrest. Black kids couldn't. You remember that, Sister Filet?
Yes,
and as
thank
I was
you.
Sitting here, because I knew it was something more, and because that's when Alton and all them came, because we needed some help. And because I just could not believe we couldn't get enough people together to protest this. And I can't, I could see this man's face. And can't bring his name up, you know, right now. But, brother, do you remember that? He's going on.
Well, Evan is the young brother that went with us up to New York, Pam.
Oh, hi, Brother Evan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Is this the same incident?
Same incident? No, two different incidents. And one was the young sister who had came down from Jamaica, Queens, New York, and I know she was, I think she was Jamaican, or she could have been, the sister was molested and sodomized by these two big, huge, because I remember when I saw them at family, down at family court, they was like, big kind of football players, and this was a real cute little, you know, black sister. And, you know, these dudes that did this rape, and when at Christmas time, they were sent home. They were sent home around Thanksgiving.
Right.
You
right.
know, with house arrest.
Yep.
Two mm-hmm. brothers or three brothers that was jumped at South Philadelphia High, Southern High, you know, and they winded up beating the guys who jumped them, and it was clear that they were jumped. People, everybody told the story. And the three brothers wind up being locked up because I think one of the guys who, the white guys who jumped, one of the brothers, daddy was a cop. And, you know, because first they locked everybody up. No, they took them all in, and the cops walked out with the white boys. The three black boys remained in jail, and they was not allowed to come home. What is this, Judge Evans? I can't pull his name up right now. And we wound up, we took him, put placards of his picture on there, and we found out that he lived at 2600 Parkway, right? And we got together, and we got some sisters and stuff, and we went down there because, see, you know, these judges do they self in them buildings, but they don't want to be exposed in their communities. And we went down there with his picture on the card and was telling people, you know, what was going on and what he had did. And, you know, then they reminded us that, you know, you couldn't be but so close to where a judge or, you know, an official live at or you can be arrested. And those are the things that was going on here. And even in the case of Mamiya, the sister Pamela Jenkins, and Pamela Jenkins and was a young sister who was approached by the police to lie and say that Mumia shot Faulkner. Pamela Jenkins was the young sister who exposed the 39th District. She was, all her charges of, you know, drugs and, you know, what have you, prostitution, all that stuff was thrown out. Come to find out that one of the police officers that was involved in the case of Mumia, a cop by the name of Ryan, and he was the one who blocked this girl from being forced to lie about Mumia. But this was a 16-year-old child. She was going to Simon Gratz High School. And we tried to get people to rise up and do something about this. But behind the fact it was in the case of Mumia, nobody moved. The NAACP, all these women against rapes and so forth and so on, nobody dealt with the issue of that, because it was a little bit later when all this came out. But at the time that this happened, this girl was a 16-year-old Simon Gratz High School student that was being prostituted by this cop, by these cops. And what happened, she actually winded up, being the woman of Officer Ryan.
Her name was Pamela Jenkins?
Pamela Jenkins, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela Jenkins, yes. And, there's a whole lot to the story of what went on December the 9th, 1981, and that's a show that we got to have. That was not an isolated incident. And, Mumia was the last of the attack that this government was doing against us at that particular time. Yeah. So, look, Brother Evans and Sister Filet, my grandbabies is pissed with me and my daughter's pissed because I've supposed to been over there with them. I told them I'd be off by 11. But as it is, the revolution moves on. They are asleep right now, but I need to get over there to them. I'm a great-grandmother and a grandmother, and I got these duties to do. I'm going to say on the move, long live revolution, and the month of October from the beginning to the end. And, and it ends with the Million Woman.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
14th.
Yes,
and also, let's do our homework and let's, make it live.
You know we're going to. Ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right, my sister, give thanks. We'll get you on very soon, and definitely get ready for December.
All right, now. On the move, Brother Evan. Stay strong.
All right, peace, Sister Africa.
Okay.
All right. All right, family, that was Sister Pam Africa. We want to remind you, of course, that the chat room is, in fact, open. Caller, we're going to go to you. Brother Evan, you stay right there. Caller, if you have a comment for us, we can take your comment or question or whatever right now. You're at 6163. Did you have something you want to share with us tonight?
Well, I'm just tuning in, and I just wanted to say greetings, peace, and blessings to everyone. Evan, I miss you. Call a sister sometimes. This is Makeda. And the program, like I said, I would. Peace.
All right, sister. Good things. Good things. Have you gotten some good information from the show tonight?
Always. Always. Always good to be on One Accord.
Absolutely. Well, if you would, sister, before you go, just share a few minutes with us about, you know, how you feel in terms of what happened this Wednesday past.
I wish I couldn't feel. This is one of the times that I wish I just was dull to emotion, thought, feeling, sensitivity, all these human senses that I have. It is gutless. It's gut-wrenching to know that we can still, in this day and time, be in fear for our life, for the lives of our sons, for the lives of our children, and our community at large. It grieves me that we have not yet taken the seriousness of all that is going on. And even as the subject of rape has come up, for so many years we have been raped and abused, molested, and tormented by our oppressor. And it's time for us to just really strike back with a mighty blow. And until they feel the pain that they have put us through, they won't understand how it is to still survive and feel the pain from ancestors to ancestors to descendants. It doesn't go away until something has been rectified. And for a lot of us that are feeling pain, that we think somebody did us some way or one way or another, it's really something coming back from our ancestry that we need to address in the here and now. So if we're not prepared for this long-term fight, we should get out now before it gets started.
Right, right. Well, you know, sister, one of the things that we've been talking about recently on our radio program is the fact that we want to start connecting with our more traditional spiritual representatives, okay? I'm using the word leaderless and instead representatives. And so this is one thing that we want to put that call out tonight to folk as well, saying that those who are, you know, spiritually inclined, be it metaphysics, be it some of the traditional African system, we have thousands of African spiritual religions, or whatever you want to call them, you know, from all over the continent and throughout the diaspora. And so one of the questions that I wanted to raise tonight was, can we have an Indaba? Now, what is an Indaba? A few years ago, an Indaba was held, and it was to talk about the issue of reparations. Well, I'm going to say, can we have an Indaba of our spiritual representatives so that we can hear from them in a way where we can now see how can we harness or bring energy together to better protect our people and to better slay our enemies?
I like that subject.
That's
that fire we've been waiting for.
That's right. So, family, those who hear me, and I'm looking at my boards, many of you do, please pass that word. If there's a person in your community of African descent that is engaging or interacting, shall we, or practicing, or whatever you want to call it, a traditional or contemporary, doesn't matter. But as long as it's African, as long as it's black, and it's dealing with, of course, righteousness, however, within that, to protect our people, especially now our warriors, those mm-hmm. who have stood up and will be standing up. What is it that our spiritual communities, our spiritual houses, if we will, our spiritual representatives, our religious folk, what will they do? What can they do to bring some of those collective energies together? We talk about collectivity. Well, here's a way to be collective that might be a little different for some, in that we're talking about bringing those energies together to now help to bring about the kind of work that represents protecting our people, keeping us safer, keeping us from falling into harm's way as often and as much. Can we do that? What y'all think about that?
I'm in complete agreement. Sorry, I have my phone on mute because I'm doing other things in the background.
Okay, no problem. Sister Makeda?
The same thing here. But I think that's the awesome introduction to what needs to be done. What
Absolutely.
Is next on the agenda.
Absolutely. Are any of the other callers, do you have a comment on that? I know for some that might be a little shocking or it might be a little upsetting or I don't know. But for me, what can I say? I make no apologies. So the reality of it is I can assure you, at least from my vantage point, I will continue to grow and develop, which means there will be no regression. We will continue to move forward. So the things that you're hearing tonight is just the beginning. Now, with that said, what I want to share with everyone is, and I think I might have mentioned this earlier to Sister Makeda, I really initially planned not to release certain kinds of information until our anniversary celebration, which, of course, is officially October the 25th. But one thing that I think is necessary to now do, because we need to get ready now on some of this, we're going to start putting out a national call for a day of outrage. A day of outrage that is in reference to particularly the situation that happened with Troy Davis, but to also let this country know and the world know that black folks in particular are not only outraged, but that we are very much going to be making some serious plans now about how to proceed in the future. But we need to do something that is organized and that is in sync with one another. So I'm putting this call out tonight for National Day of Outrage. So for those who are interested, you can hit us up on nationalmwm@aol.com or officialmwm@yahoo.com. Okay, that's announcement number one. Now, of course, there was a day of outrage that took place last Thursday in New York. We're still waiting for Brother Joe Jordan to call in to give us the report on that, because he is one of the brothers that got arrested on Thursday after they had their day of outrage. Something almost went down here in Philly, as you heard Sister Pam report, and she just gave you a little snippet of what was really going down, because it got real deep for a moment there. Once the cops started really coming, they began to get very aggressive and was trying to act like they wanted to control some stuff. So fortunately, you know, folks stayed focused, but it got very touchy. And we're talking about, we were out there from 5 until roughly 9 o'clock, okay, on Wednesday. At that point, we hadn't heard anything back, and around 9 or so, we were told that there would not be a decision made, within the next X amount of hours and probably not till the next day. But, of course, at 11 o'clock, or really around 10, somewhere between 10 and 10:30, we received the word that the decision had come and it had been denied, and they were continuing with the procedure. The thing that I conveyed to Sister Makeda today, and of course we talked about it on a previous show, I think yesterday, is that our reports indicated that Brother Troy laid on that gurney for the entire time. So when we talk about cruel and unusual punishment, I can't think of anything right now that supersedes that one, at least not recently. To lay somewhere for 3-4 hours while you've already been given a dose of something and then you're waiting to hear what's going to happen, I can only think how mentally torturous that was. So, again, we're calling on a day of outrage. We want to know from you, family, what should that consist of? Where should it be? Certainly on a national level, but is there one particular location that we also want to look at? And, again, what kinds of things are we talking about? So we'd like to have your input. The suggested date has already been given. The suggested date has been October the 10th. That date was suggested because October the 9th would have been Troy Davis's birthday, October the 9th, right? So people said Monday, you know, because business is going on and whatever needs to be happening, we need to be making sure that business is somehow disrupted or something. So that's why October the 10th was suggested. What do you all suggest? We'd like to hear from you. So, again, email us at nationalmwm@aol.com or officialmwm@aol.com. Starting tomorrow, you will be able to go online prayerfully to be able to support MWM. We will have a PayPal set up for you. We need your membership, family. We need you to be a support or an active member. And you will be able to get information. We'll make information available for you starting tomorrow. That's important because of two things. One, we are self-determined. We do not get grants and corporate sponsoring and so forth and so on. Two, with what we're bringing forward for our people is truly evolutionary and definitely really warrants your support, demands your support. We request your support. One thing that is getting ready to happen, and I know Brother Steve Biko, who was supposed to be calling in also tonight, I'm not seeing him yet, he's often said that we have enough parties, you know, but I think he was, you know, referring to people partying, you see. Well, yeah. We have a party that we're getting ready to bring forward, and it's called the Million Woman Party. It's called the Million Woman Party with this joint or extended component or affiliate component known as the People's Progressive Party or the People's Self-Determination Party. Okay? Why? Because we need to provide education, training, run our own candidates, and pay for their campaigns, or at least contribute largely to their campaigns. Not that we're trying to buy into anything in regards to this system, but in the process of us dealing with development of our own nation, we are presently here. We do have to interact, and we need to have a better control over the votes that our people are putting out there. And they're doing it with just, you know, no thought, no nothing. So we need to tap into that and redirect it, re-educate them, and then bring them over to our side. So this is one of the strategic ways to do that, to begin to develop our own candidates that we can hold accountable. They will have to sign something one way or the other before they get our endorsement, and so forth and so forth and so on. These are just some of the things that we're ready to bring forward beginning in October. Of course, I can't go into detail, but we're waiting to hear back from Mumia Abu-Jamal for another very, very powerful project that we will have jointly with him, and we're also waiting to hear back from Dr. Motula Shakur. We cannot elaborate on those two projects right now, but those are two other projects that will be very, very groundbreaking. So we definitely need your support. We now have membership available. We also have been in the affiliate membership, or you can already be in the organization. That's okay. We have affiliation organization membership, as well as individual support and active of various types. So there's no reason why you cannot provide some support. Lastly, one of our new components will be A Million Black Women Rising. And from this show on, you'll be hearing more information updates about all of these various new developments for the Million Women Movement. Okay, I'm going to check our boards and see if we have Brother Joe calling in yet. I'm not seeing him. Let me just check one more time. We did get a message from him earlier saying something about something had happened, and we had to re-send him the information, but I'm not seeing him calling in yet. But nevertheless, again, we certainly thank all of you. In case you haven't noticed, we are going overtime tonight. We're going to hang in there until like 12:30. The one thing that I want to respond to is earlier this week we sent out, and actually it was yesterday, we sent out a text and an email, I think, that talked about a off-white man who was given clemency in Georgia. When we first got the article, the information, we weren't, it didn't have a date on it, so it appeared or looked like it had happened this week, when in fact it did not. So we want to make sure that you have that correction and make sure that you know that it did not happen this week, but it did happen, meaning a man, a off-white man in Georgia did in fact get clemency 3 days before his, three hours before his execution. And we just want to show you the correlation of this racist system. Hopefully Brother Joe will be calling in. I'm going to check this other line to see if he's there. Brother Joe? Okay, nope, he's not on that line. So we're going to try again to see if we can get him on another line here. But in the meantime, again, we wanted to bring that particular case to your attention. I'm going to try to pull it up again so you will have the name. But the point that we were making again is that this was a off-white man who, in fact, his lawyers went before the Georgia Board of Paroles, and they literally gave him clemency 3 hours before his execution. Okay, so I'm going to pull that name up for you very shortly so that you can research that. And just know that, I mean, here's the evidence. Here's beyond a reasonable doubt, needless to say, of the type of racist, the type of blatant injustice that these people really are perpetuating. And rest assured, with what we saw on Wednesday, clearly that's an indication that there's more to come. We say the execution, the murder of Troy Davis is, without a doubt, a crime. Okay, so since this country is so big on trying to punish the criminal, well, they're now the criminal. They always have been. And I'm almost certain they always will be. So now we need to look at how we have to deal with this. So, again, for those who are interested in helping to develop a national day of outrage, we certainly invite you to give us a email at area code, or send us an email, rather, at area code nationalmwm@aol.com or official MWM@yahoo.com. Sister Makeda, before I let you go, I was hoping Brother Ramesses was going to call in. Could you, like, give us just a brief report on today's Legacy of a Nation? No. Actually, it was Only in America. Want to give us a little overview on what you were able to hear today with Only in America? Sister Makeda?
Please, sister, I'm sorry, I'm listening, but I was also doing something else. Please repeat your statement.
Were you tuning in today for Brother Ramesses' Only in America program?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just was wondering what were some of the things that you were able to kind of glean from or dialogue with about today in terms of the Only in America?
In terms of Only in America or us here in America, I realized that a lot of us like to talk. And we like to talk, and we like to talk.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to us being in a place where we talk no more and see what we are going to do. It is really disheartening that we have so many ideas of what we think is correct, but we have very little definite knowledge of what is correct. So we keep putting ideas out there and getting ourselves tripped up, some of us more than what we were before we started. And sometimes we just need to sit back and be quiet and admit to ourselves you really don't know as much as you think you know. I am still trying to make adjustment to the reality that my brother is not here. He's not coming back. It's a done deal as far as they're concerned, and I cannot stomach and digest how many more after him. I have no clue how many before him, but this is something that has to stop ASAP, and we have to continue to unify our thoughts. So that means we need to relearn a language, relearn a communication, relearn an expression that we can communicate with each other instead of keep using the same words that bind us over and over again and thinking that some speech is going to liberate us to be where we need to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, my sister. And I certainly look forward to talking with you later on in the week.
Yes, ma'am. We definitely are going to stay connected this go round.
Can say.
All right. But I do want to make that point because I hear a lot of people saying they just don't know about what's going on, and I'm just new in this whole arena. I would like to see us pull together where we are extending. Some people you have to walk all the way. Some people you can tell them meet you halfway. So we have to set up some kind of agenda where people are constantly informed and reminded to participate, because we can't have these small numbers come out and the Phillies game is standing room only.
Right, that's right. You know, and I'm glad you pointed that out because, again, even though we had people that came out on Wednesday in particular, especially a larger number than what came out on Monday and Tuesday, with the population of Philly being more than 50% black, it is no way that the amount of people that were out there, the street should have been packed. I mean, packed. And like you said, sister, if they can go to the Phillies game and have all them people out there, it is just sad. And again, Philadelphia is roughly 51% black, and yet it showed none of that. So it just shows you the mindset here in this city. But, again, we're going to do everything possible to change it. Okay, I think I see Brother Joe has called. And Sister Makeda, thank you so much. And we're going to continue this dialogue. We're going to talk with Brother Joe Jordan. I'm not sure if this is him because I asked him to push 1 if it is, because I can't see it on my board if he doesn't push 1. So I'm hoping you hear this and you will push 1, so I don't know. But at any rate, Brother Joe was at a rally in New York on, I believe, Thursday. And wait a minute, hold on. Something just happened here, and I'm not sure what it was. Okay, here we are. All right, I see Brother Joe now. Okay, We had our rally here in Philly, and, of course, there was a rally in New York on Thursday, and Brother Joe and another brother were arrested. So what we're going to do is I'm going to now connect Brother Joe. I see that he's with us now, so let's do that right away because we only have about 10 more minutes. So, Brother Joe, I think we finally have you now. Are you there?
Peace, sister. How you doing?
All right. Finally.
All right, my brother. I tried. I had some difficulties getting through. I apologize, but I'm through now.
No problem. Okay, I'm great. Yeah, we can't tell that it is, you know, there's so many callers, and unless you push one, I can't begin to filter it out. Okay.
I did. I could hear the program, and I heard Sister Pan Africa talking. I was pleased to be able to soak up some of that wisdom, but I was not received on the board because I did not.
Right.
I did not press one at the right time.
Right,
I pressed it too
right.
early.
That's
I pressed
right,
it too early.
We got you now. So, and thank
Excellent.
Goodness
so,
we got you now. Go ahead, brother.
So long story. Originally, we thought the Troy Davis rally was going to just be what it was, as Amnesty International. It's white folk jumping up and down wearing shirts that say, "I am Troy Davis," but they could never be Troy Davis, and that is mad disrespectful. But, that was the campaign, and his sister endorsed it. And then all the white folk who enjoy wearing those shirts and don't think about dismantling white supremacy, they hide behind that, and they're like, "Oh, well, it was his sister's campaign." So whatever, I'm not hate on it though. I got out, and I was in the tombs for like 20 hours because we stood in the street. A black man was lynched by the state of Georgia, and because we would not move 2 feet onto the sidewalk that the pigs wanted us to move onto, we had to be arrested. And my brother Brandon King, longtime organizer and MXG member, my spiritual but not blood brother, another MXG member, MXGM, Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, he was punched in the back until he went down, no bruises or anything. It wasn't like severe punching. It was like violating and annoying, but like ultimately not that, you know, not that too terrible punching. I mean, we were strong, you know. And I, like, they were doing like some dirty tactics to me. I thought because they were like a military formation, it would be like stylized fighting, but no, it's like they're pulling my hair. I have like kind of thick like dreads, like natty dreads, like they're pulling that like my head, that like, you know, grind my face into the floor, like choking me with my rags. Like I'm an anarchist, so I wear like a black bandana around my neck, you know, in case the need to mask up arises. And they were like choking me with my own rag. I thought it was gonna be some like do the right thing, like Radio Raheem type situation, because I could not breathe. Whatever, and they're like screaming, "Stop resisting," because my arms won't bend in the direction that they want them to bend, even though it's not in direction that nature thinks they should bend. And I'm like, I'm not resisting. And the white-shirted pig is like, "Shut the F up, I'm sick of you," because he's seen me out at these things, and he's just. So I got obstruction of governmental administration, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. It was cool though, because originally, it's been this annoying amnesty meeting where, you know, white folk can just show up and go to this rally and feel better instead of actually dismantling white supremacy within themselves and within their institutions. It happened, and then the RCP, actually, the Revolutionary Communist Party, those people, I don't really gel with them because they think that for some reason, you know, undocumented women of color, black men who've been in the system for some reason, they need to look to a white man to lead them because they don't know about oppression and they don't know about revolution, but whatever, internalized oppression is a long road. They called everybody into the street, so we had a long, unpermitted, which is rarely heard of in New York at this point, street march from Union Square, 14th Street, all the way to Washington Square Park, 6th Avenue, and like 8th Street. And then we were cordoned off on Bleecker. Anytime anyone upset them, they pulled out the truncheons and started hitting at us. We managed to get out of the little street they cordoned us off on. It was Bleecker Street or something. And we got on the Broadway. We marched toward the occupation of a park near Wall Street that I'm not even going to talk about, but it's called Occupy Wall Street. We were marching there because we knew, even though they weren't necessarily even allies, it was people demonstrating, and it was like possibly a safe space. And then that's when we didn't get off the sidewalk, and that's when we were put through the process that led to, like, you know, 20 hours of our lives being wasted where we could have been doing work. We were supposed to visit Reverend Joy Powell this weekend on Friday. We were supposed to visit BLA prisoner of war Robert Seth Hayes on Sunday. This could not happen because of complications related to us not being able to move Brother Brandon's car in time. So we don't only suffer. The PPs that we support, the political prisoners and the prisoner of war that we support, they suffer because they had to waste our time for some BS just to flex their muscles. And I think the last thing I'm going to say on this, I know I've been talking rapidly, but I got a lot of pent-up boredom and agitation from the NYC tombs in my veins. When we're locked down in the precinct with just a bunch of like no neck, like ultra jacked, like Guido pigs, like standing around, like snorting and laughing at us. This one opens the door. After the one black pig comes in, and the main captain makes some joke and says, "Oh, you scared me coming up on me there." And everybody knows what that means and knows what that meant. He's just got to shuck and smile because that's, you know, his place in that hierarchy. But some white pig smashes way in and says, There was like hundreds of cops in the street. There should be thousands of people arrested right now. And over an effing cop killer, I'll cut his effing throat and smash the door open and left. This is the kind of harassment and terrorism and violence we're subjected to, where it's obvious. These are just like violent gang of white jock pigs who are bullies and sadists and get paid to put black and brown people in cages, and they love what they do when they do what they do, and we deal. All for demonstrating over a man being lynched. Like rather than listen to popular opinion and be slightly compassionate, they chose to just satisfy their white supremacist thirst for vengeance in Georgia and execute Troy Davis, leave the man 4 hours on the gurney, his last hours of life, not being able to even stretch his limbs. He's got to be strapped down while the Supreme Court bandies about whether or not to lynch this man, and they did anyway.
Mm-hmm. No doubt, brother. What is your court date at this point?
November 29th.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll definitely make sure we have you back on before then and make arrangements myself, and I'll check with Sister Pam. We might be trying to come up for that.
That'd be awesome, but that'd be so awesome. That'd be so awesome. But I like, you're dope if you come up, but if you don't, it's okay, because I don't even know if they're going to prosecute, because luckily a lot of people rallied around support, members of the Malcolm X grassroots movement, members of the anarchist people of color. We, like, showed up and enforced, and we heard them chanting outside the precinct, like, you know, let them go, let them go. And, this is a story. We had a contingent of, you know, our supporters came up to, like, do jail support, just chant outside the jail so we could hear it, know that the people were standing with us. And they sent out as many cops as were protesters, as were people supporting us, in riot gear with pepper spray aimed at them. And they were just like, maybe we should head back to the rally, because, like, that's what consensus meant. Some people were down to get arrested and challenge this, but not enough people were like, we're going to take that kind of a risk, and I understand it because we all got real things to do, you know. But they were so scared by that unity and scared by the fact that, like, you know, if you challenge them at all, they're terrified. And, like, that's why I think they come down hard on all of us no matter what, because if we got our act together, you know, that's all I'm saying.
That's right. Well, my brother, we are down to our last couple of minutes. Let folks know how they can stay in touch with you, and we're definitely going to stay in touch with you, but if there's a way that folks can communicate with you, please provide us with that now.
Yeah, I mean, just you can hit me up. You can hit me up at the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, mxgm.org. That's where we can be hit. You know, there's an info button you can hit up. Yeah, and, you know, just contact us through that. You know, we do Cop Watch. We do the People's Self-Defense Campaign, where we try to do workshops on interpersonal violence, Know Your Rights workshops, keep people out the grasp of the pigs, like Cop Watch, keep the pigs on point with the cameras, you know, try to help people file Citizens Complaint Review Board business if they want to, if they've been wronged by the pigs, which is more often than not. Do political prisoner of war support. We got a youth committee, New African Women's Caucus. It's something to get involved in if you're interested. Just we got to stick together and, you know, keep it sane in the face of this Babylon nightmare.
Okay. All right, family, we have run out of time tonight. I thank Brother Joe for coming through and giving us that update, and we're going to get him back very soon too, because we want to really talk more about Reverend Joy Powell. I want to remind you
tomorrow, if you're in Philadelphia area, of course, 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock, Congo Square between 7th and 8th, Walnut Street here in Philadelphia. Remember,
and I'll be seeing
movement.
You on the 14th.
Oh, wonderful. Call me tomorrow, Brother Joe, so we can really lock that down. Good thing.
I'll be out there. You know it. I'll be out there. And thank you
wonderful.
For putting me on. This was a healing space for me, and I thank you. And thank you for letting me just vent.
Indeed. When I saw your name pop up that you was one of the ones that was arrested, I was like, oh, yeah, we got to check that out. So, you know, we're glad that we were able to get you. All right, family, we are down to our last couple
thank
of
you much.
And we thank all of you. And all we can say now is Ma'at Hotep. And remember, Aluta Continua, the struggle continues and promoted to the Shinda. We shall win. Peace out.
Peace. Thank
Peace.
You.